Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. What are we talking about? The Bible, yeah, I know the Bible. But what are we talking about the last few weeks? A lifestyle of faith. Faith towards God. Faith in His Word. Faith when all things seem impossible. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Tell your neighbor, He loves me. Aren't you glad He does? And aren't you glad there is nothing that you can do to change that fact? There's nothing you can do to make Him love you more. There's nothing that you can do to make Him love you less. Oh, I love that fact, that He loved me. Because here's the thing, while you were sinners, Christ died for you. Amen? So the greatest act of love God is ever going to do, He did when you were His enemy. Amen? And thank God, how much more, Romans 8 says, now that we're His sons, now that we're His daughters. Now, we've been talking about different aspects of faith and living a life of faith. And last week we saw the example of Abraham and how that Abraham walked with God. And though the promise of God, he didn't get it at first, but thank God he was at the place where the Bible says he was firmly 100% convinced and persuaded that what he has promised, he was able to perform it. He didn't start there, but thank God he ended there. Now, we want to go back into Romans chapter 4, and I want us to look at two very distinct and important areas of Abraham's life and how that we can follow that in our walk of faith. All right? Two things that I believe are so critical and vital. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, as it is written. Tell your neighbor, it's written. All right, so this is according to something that is written in the Word. I have made you a father of many nations. Now, God said that to Abraham before he was a father. God said that to Abraham before he had children. So God gave a promise, and when Abraham looked around using his five senses, there was no evidence that would tell him that that was going to come to pass. It was only the evidence of faith. It was only the evidence that what God said is going to come to pass. So he said, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Verse 18, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. And look at this next part. According to that which was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Now, who spoke that? Abraham's mother-in-law? No, God Almighty. So two times in this passage, once it says it was written, another time God said. Now, Abraham made what God said to be the foundation of what he believed. And so the first thing in our journey of faith that we want to see today is, friends, you have to know what God said. You have to know what God said. Now, let me find somebody. I won't warn anybody that was in the first service. Joshua, you were in the first service, weren't you? You weren't? Oh, you went out. Okay. All right, so here's a good friend of mine, Joshua. Businessman, smart, good basketball player. Nice suit, all right? He's single. No, don't mess around. All right. You believe you're going to get married one day, right? Why do you believe that? It's written where? Huh? It's written in his diary. No, it's written in where? In the Word of God. Huh? It's written in the Word of God that a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. All right? So what he believes, He believes based on what God said. See, if you are trusting God, if you're in an impossible situation, if you're in a place where you know that God has something for you, and you know this situation shouldn't stay this way, all right? I've got to be able to go up to you like Joshua and say, all right, why do you believe what you believe? What is the foundation of your faith? And unfortunately, some Christians kind of come up with cliches, Christian cliches. Well, Pastor, my blessings shall be permanent. Yeah. Well, that's a good thing, right? I like permanent blessings rather than temporary blessings, okay? That's not a Bible verse. Well, Pastor, I just believe that it's all going to work out. Well, that's not a Bible verse. Well, Pastor, 3 years ago, I was at a prayer meeting, and this guy called me out and says, you're going to get married. Well, that's nice. That is in line with the Word of God. But you cannot base your faith on a slogan or a bumper sticker or a prophecy. You have to base your faith on the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God. And so the first thing you have to do when it comes time to walk, because here we do, we walk by faith, right? We walk by faith. That means we're going somewhere. You don't sit by faith. You walk by faith. That means I'm leaving here and I'm going here. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, Abraham, by faith, he went. He was going somewhere. And so when we take our steps of faith, remember Peter got out of the boat? What did he step on? He stepped on the word of Jesus that said, come. He didn't step on his idea. He didn't step out on just something else. When he stepped out, he stepped on come. And everywhere he stepped on the word of God. Now, what has God said about your situation? And the first thing you have to do before you pray, before you do anything, go to the Word of God. Get Scripture for your situation. Amen. Not a slogan, not a prophecy. Now, Peter, the apostle, he was with Jesus, and he was on the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus was glorified. All right? And he was talking about that in his epistle. He said, you know, I saw that. I was there. He said, but he was speaking of the Word of God. He said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Amen. In my life, there was a time where I was just 1 week from going to South Africa with my wife and my three-month-old child. And I knew that God had spoken. I knew that He was leading. Went to a church service, and a lady pulled us out. I didn't know her. She didn't know me. And she pulled my wife and I out and says, God's called you to the nations. You're going to go to Russia, and then Paris, and then Africa. Well, I had a plane ticket that said Africa. Johannesburg. That last time I checked, it was in Africa. So, but she said, Russia, then Paris, then Africa. So, Pastor, what did you do? I went to Africa. I've never been to Russia. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. See, people can miss it. God cannot. Amen. Now, I firmly believe she obviously picked up something, but maybe she added her own vision, or I don't know what she added to it, all right? I'm in Africa and I'm doing fine, okay? What Bible verses are you basing your faith upon when it comes to healing? Well, Pastor, I just believe I'm going to get better. Well, why do you believe that? Well, I really want it. God doesn't honor your wants. God is not moved by need. He's not moved by need. Because if He was, there would be no need. God understands, God cares, but the Bible says that the angels of God hearken to the Word of God. God honors His Word. Amen. And so you've got to find out what God says. Now, let me encourage you. When it comes to your situation, you don't need 102 scriptures. Amen. I remember I was in Bible school, and it was a great, great class on the healing power of God and the fact that healing is part of our covenant and part of our redemption of Calvary. And part of that class was 101 Bible reasons why God wants you to be healed. Ooh, they were all wonderful. 54, 72. But you know what? For you to get healed, you don't need 101 reasons. One scripture will do. 1 Peter 2:24 that says, by his stripes you are healed. That will take care of cancer. That will take care of inoperable problems that the doctor says, I can't do anything about that. One scripture is alive and full of power and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. And so, find out what God says. Now, wonderful Christian author, in his classic book on healing, F.F. Bosworth in Christ the Healer, he wrote this, that faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Now, that would be in line with Romans chapter 10 that says faith comes by not just hearing anything, but hearing by the Word of God. All right? So with the Word of God, we have a basis or a foundation for our faith. Now, on that basis, now we can trust God. What did it say? According to that which was written, according to that which was spoken by God. You've got to know what God says. So if faith begins where the will of God is known, I believe that doubt and unbelief breed where God's will is unknown. Where ignorance is. These two guys didn't know about certain things. The skit about singles. Jesus was swallowed by the whale. Or no, that was Samson. Or it's a funny skit. It's very funny. It's not a funny lifestyle. It's not a funny lifestyle. Well, Pastor, I believe that God's gonna give me a job. Well, that's good. Why do you believe that? Well, to be honest, my parents are just on my back and I just feel so much pressure and I've got to pay my bills and God's just going to have to come through for me. No, not necessarily. What Bible verse are you believing? When we squeeze you, the word should come out. Amen. Well, Pastor, and here's the thing. Pastor, you just haven't been preaching on my thing long enough. I need you to preach more on this or more on that. And we certainly try to give you a balanced diet at Miracle Life. All right? But here's the wonderful thing. Here's the awesome thing. You can have a sermon any day of the week. Amen. When the Bible, if fear is gripping your heart, if what's out in the unknown is coming against you, you can turn to the Word of God and begin to boldly declare, my God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of sound mind. That's in my package. No, there's no fear in my package. And go to over here where the Bible says, fear not, for I am with you. See, you've got to know to preach to yourself. You remember the time where David was in big, big trouble and they had gone and they had taken captive all of his guys, their families, they'd stolen all of his stuff and they wanted to kill David. Now, these were his own guys, let alone Saul. He was running from Saul. So Saul's after him. His own guys are discouraged and they want to kill him. So David didn't have a satellite dish. David couldn't tune in to the word of power for the hour with the man or woman of God. You know what the Bible says? David went and found a place, and the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, my wife isn't a very good encourager. I work at a place and my boss doesn't really encourage me a whole lot. I don't receive a lot of encouragement at church. Encourage yourself. Can you do that? Amen. That means David had nowhere to go. So he just found a rock. And he said, hey, David, guess what? You're going to make it. God is on your side. I believe that's where some of the Psalms were birthed. Nobody else was singing to him, so he just had to write his own songs. Hallelujah. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You've got to know it. You've got to know what God says. Not hearsay. Not secondhand information. Next year in January of 2011, at part of Miracle Life, we are going to be a part of starting Rhema Bible Training Center in Zambia, where I went to Bible school that was founded by Kenneth Hagin. And that school is called Rhema. It's a Greek word in the New Testament for the Word of God. And it has the idea that Rhema is the Word of God that is spoken to you. It's not just out there for everybody. This is my word. This is Rhema to me. This is God speak. And so Abraham had Rhema. Abraham knew what God said for him. Friend, guess what? You've got to know what God says. In the midnight hour, when it's dark, when you're trusting God and all of a sudden the situation gets worse, you've got to have it in your heart. Faith works in the heart. Now, thank God, the Word of God will renew your mind. But faith is not a matter of the mind. It's not mind over matter. Faith works in the heart. There's something that you believe at a heart level that is the Word of God. Amen? Tell your neighbor, according to that which is written. All right, so that's the first thing that Abraham had, is he knew what God said. Now, let's keep reading in verse 19. Verse 19, now, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, already dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. When did Abraham give glory to God? Was it at the hospital? When they came out to the waiting room and said, "Congratulations, sir, you have a boy." Is that when he said, "Well, glory to God. It's been long enough"? No, the Bible says he wasn't weak in faith. He didn't consider his own body. He didn't waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God. When did Abraham give glory to God? Before. Friend, listen to me. For many, many of you, this is the deal. This is what you've got to hear from God today. This is what you've got to respond to God in your life. You've got to give glory to God before the baby comes. You've got to give glory to God when there is no physical evidence that anything has changed. The only thing you have is hope in God's Word and a covenant-keeping God. At that time is when you've got to give glory to God. Amen? Before the baby came. Let me give you an example. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Giving glory to God. Now, 2 Chronicles 20 gives us the account of Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah. After David was Solomon. And Solomon, God gave great wisdom. Unfortunately, Solomon didn't follow the wisdom that God gave him. Solomon had too many women in his life. Solomon backslid. Solomon's heart was divided, and so his kingdom was divided. Solomon didn't raise his kids right, and it cost him. And it cost future generations. Leaders, listen to me. When you mess up, it costs more than just you. It's costing another generation. Tell your neighbor, get it right. All right? We need people that are going to get it right in our life and in our leadership. And so Jehoshaphat was one of the good guys. Israel and Judah were divided. And most of these kings were wicked. Most of these kings took heathen wives that allowed their foreign gods to influence the king and then influence the nation. It matters who you marry. It matters who you marry. Oh, but Pastor, don't worry. I you know, we you know, that is just religion. You know, You know, they've got their thing and they're not really religious and I got my thing. No, no, no. It's going to divide your heart. It's going to divide your family and it will divide your influence. It matters who you marry. All right. So Jehoshaphat, he worshiped the Lord and he brought reform to Judah. And God's hand of blessing was there and things were going in the right direction. And right in the middle of all that blessing, let's read in 2 Chronicles 20. Now remember, this is happening while he's doing a good thing. It happened after this, that the people of Moab, with all the people of Ammon and the others besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Now, but he's doing the right thing. He's obeying the word of God. And now all these people are coming against him. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you." All right? So this was not a false report. This was not inaccurate information. This was trouble. Now, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 1, it says that after this, all these people rose up against Jehoshaphat. Now, you know what's in verse 9, you know what's in chapter 20? Jehoshaphat's reforms. Jehoshaphat's godliness. Jehoshaphat listening to God and obeying. And so after he was obedient, here comes the attack. Now, sometimes as Pentecostals and Charismatics, we get a little bit funny when it comes to an attack or a storm of life. And we begin to say, well, why is this happening to me? What's going on? Yeah, I don't know if you've heard this one. That, you know, maybe things are going wrong in your life and things are wrong. And somebody comes up to you and says, "Don't worry, brother, you must be a threat to the devil. Because he sees what you're about to do and he's attacking you." Well, how many of you know that God is good? Is he good all the time? Well, here's another Bible fact. The devil is bad all the time, all the time. The devil doesn't need a reason to be bad. He's bad to the bone. Bad, all right? He doesn't need a reason. That is his nature. That's what he does. He steals. He kills. He destroys. He accuses. He lies. He can't do anything other than that. All right? In the Bible, you see, there were three different people, and there were others, but there were three instances where people went through storms. Jonah went through a storm because he was backslidden and because he was disobedient to God. You remember that storm? Aren't you glad God got him out of the storm? Paul in Acts 23 was in a storm because someone else was disobedient. Paul was obedient, but someone else missed it, and Paul was in the middle of a storm. Jesus and the disciples, Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." The disciples got in the boat, they got in obedience, they listened to Jesus, and right in the middle of the lake, here comes a storm. So Jonah was in a storm through disobedience. Paul was in a storm because of the disobedience of others. The disciples were in a storm because of obedience. So if you're in a storm, what can you discern about the storm? Nothing. Why are you in the storm? Who knows how you're in the storm? It might be because of you. It might be because of somebody else. It might be because of no one. Maybe it just happened. But here's the thing. Guess what? God delivers us out of them all. So Jehoshaphat finds himself in a storm. He didn't make it. He didn't pick on these guys. He's just loving the Lord, bringing reform to his nation. And all of a sudden, here comes the attack. All right? Now, let's keep reading. Look at verse 3. "And Jehoshaphat feared." Everybody say, uh-oh. I thought this was a sermon on faith. Jehoshaphat feared. All right? So when he heard of this impossible situation, of these armies that were bigger than him, when he heard that there was an attack, his first reaction was fear. Can we lift up our hands halfway if that was ever our first reaction? Okay, the first thing we did, we didn't actually get out the Hillsong CD, you know. The first thing is we didn't pull out our scriptures and say, "Hallelujah." The first thing we did was, "Oh, God." Jehoshaphat feared. His first step was not a step of faith. But you know what? Guess what? If your first step is not a step of faith, your second one can be. So the first thing he did was he feared. Then the Bible says, and he set himself to seek the Lord. Oh, aren't you glad he turned it right there? He turned it right there. He didn't stay in fear. He didn't open up his mouth and say, oh, I don't know what we're going to do. Oh, generals, come on, we got to figure out an attack plan. Oh, my goodness. Oh, are we going to run? Are we going to hide? Oh, do we have weapons of mass destruction? Oh, what are we going to do? No, he set himself to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast around all of Judah. And they gathered. Everybody got together to look to the Lord, to pray. Father, what would you have us to do? And the Holy Spirit came upon one of his men. And this guy began to prophesy. And he said, all right, here's what the Lord is saying. All right, let's pick up this account. All right. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. Verse 17. You will not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves. Position yourselves. Get in the right place. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Now, isn't that in line with the word of God? David said that in the Psalms. All right, that was already now given as God's will. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Now, these guys are against you, but the Lord is with you. How many of you know the Bible says that? The Lord is with you. He's for you. If God be for me, who can be against me? That's what God says about your life. So they had the foundation. They were standing upon what God said. But now the strategy of what to do was amazing. And it's exactly what Abraham did. What did he do? He was strong in faith and he gave glory to God. Look in verse 21. All right. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing. To the Lord, and who should praise the beauty of holiness. As they went out before the army, saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. He sent the praisers first. Now, you might not have an army of praisers, but you are a praiser. So what do you do first? How do you face the battle? What is it that comes out of your mouth as you face the impossible situation? You know what? I believe for some of us, and I've done this in my life, but you know what we put out? We don't put the praisers first. We put the complainers first. Oh, I tell you, I don't know what to do. Oh, I tell you what. Who is this guy? Oh, what's his name over here? Jehaziel. Who made Jehaziel the prophet? Who said he could say, speak for God? We didn't talk about this. And you know what? My grandson is on the praise team. And he's going to probably get his head chopped off by one of the Ammonites. And Jehoshaphat doesn't even care. No, you can't put the complainers first. You can't put the doubters first. You've got to put the praise first. Now, what was their song? The song that they sang is the number one hit of the Old Covenant. It's an oldie, but it's a goodie. If you read the Psalms, this is the number one song. You know, you hear different times around the world. We have voted as listeners for the past 100 years in the most greatest song in the whole wide world. Huh? I heard once. You know what the number one song? One vote was John Lennon. Imagine there's no heaven. Shame. That's the number one song of the world. Well, thank God this is the number one song in God's hit chart. All right. Put the praisers first. Get them out front. Get them out loud. And here's the song. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. You know what that means? And that means is even if this battle is because I messed up, his mercy endures forever. If I'm facing this challenge because God said left and I went right, I praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. If I got fired because I deserved to be fired, his mercy endures forever. If I'm in this financial problem, not because of the devil, but because I was dumb. How many of you have been in a financial problem because you were dumb? Come on now. Come on. Get them up. Lift it up. Lift it up in the house. Have you ever done that? Yeah? Guess what? His mercy endures forever. So this is why we don't have to overanalyze it. Well, who was the one who opened the door? Why is it? Okay, let's. Now you don't need a 2-year commission. You just lift up your voice to God and say, His mercy endures forever. And you put that first. You let that be what's out front. And here's the really cool thing. The Bible says His mercies are new. Every morning. Aren't you glad there was fresh manna? What? When did it come? Every morning. Every morning there's fresh manna. Why? Because you need manna on that day. Why are His mercies new every morning? Oh, because I need some today. I need some today. Well, Pastor, you better not preach that. I'm sorry. It's in the Bible. Amen. That's what you put first. God, you know what? Here are all these people. Here's this big problem. Lord, I'm facing it. I don't know what to do. I'm not smart enough. But guess what? Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever. Now, they did it and God did it. And within a short time, everybody in the enemy's camp was dead. And here's the other cool part. After they died for 3 days, they were busy carrying all the spoils and the loot and the money from all of that dead army. How many of you on day 2 of carrying all that stuff, you go to bed and think, dear Lord, how can I do it tomorrow? I got to go out tomorrow and pick up money. Oh, man, more jewelry, more stuff. Oh, God. Thank God. I think it's only one more day. That's what they did for 3 days. So there was an attack, but God turned it to bless them. Amen? But they put the praisers first. Now, we're going to do some praising today, and we're going to praise God about 3 different things. The first two we're going to combine together. All right? And maybe you're saying, Pastor, I don't really see a lot of armies against me right now. Well, that's good. You've got a reason to praise Him. Isaiah 44, verse 23. Well, in verse 22, it says, I've redeemed you. I've forgiven you. I've blotted out your transgressions. Verse 23 says, sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Not He's going to do it. He's done it. Shout, you lower parts of the earth. That's where we are, right? Break forth into singing, you mountains, O forest and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob. That means God's people. And glorified Himself in Israel. So we can break forth and praise God and love God and give Him glory because we are redeemed. Because we are bought back from the enemy. Now, go over and look at Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54, these are the redemptive texts about Jesus and His work and what He's done for us. Isaiah 54, verse 1. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. Not cry like on the floor with tears. No, I mean, lift up a song. Break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not labored with child. Now let me read that to you again. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne. So nothing has changed. Everything is wrong. What is supposed... How many of you know your God, when we look at the Word of God, barrenness is not part of His plan. It's not. Children are a blessing from the Lord. Amen? So that's not part of His plan. That's not part of His will. That's not supposed to happen. Now again, we can analyze it. Maybe it's this, maybe it's that. And you know what? Maybe it's all of the above. All right? But here's the thing. What God wants to happen has not yet happened. And this was the example of Abraham and Sarah. All right? So there's barrenness. There is something that has not yet happened. Sing, O barren! Sing, O barren! Right now in your life, are there things that are not right? You're saying, Pastor, hey, I've got the Scriptures, Pastor. And the Scriptures are great, but the Scriptures are the Scriptures, and my life is still a mess. There's no baby. There's no blessing. What's supposed to happen hasn't happened yet. Well, here's what God says to you. Sing. Break forth into singing. You know what break forth means? It means just do it. Just get up in the middle of the night and do it. Amen? Not somebody winding you up. Not somebody helping you out. But just to break forth. So the first thing we're going to do. Now again, maybe you say, Pastor, you know what? I'll honest, things are really awesome right now. I'm just seeing the blessing of the Lord. Well, guess what? Then you get to just stand up and break forth into singing because you're redeemed. Because your sins are forgiven. Amen? And thank God that's just the way it's going to stay. But secondly, I believe there are many, many of you here today, and it's not right. Things aren't so okay in certain areas. You want that to change. All right? And instead of complaining about it, instead of sending the whiners first, or the analyzers first, let's send the praisers first. Amen? Everybody stand to your feet. Everybody stand to your feet. Now, band, you just hold on. Now, we've got a great band and drums and bass and singers and happy people up here. All right? But how many of you discovered this band doesn't come to your house at 2 o'clock in the morning when the devil wakes you up? They're not at your office when you get that report. So right now, no one's going to help us. We're going to break forth into singing. And like Abraham, we're going to give God glory before. Before. Sing, O barren. Break forth into singing, those of you who have no children. It hasn't changed. Nothing looks different. But we're going to sing and praise God today because God is faithful. Because God has promised. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right? So just so we can do it together. Now let me give you another just kind of an encouragement here. The New Testament says this. That we praise God. That we praise Him from the fruit of our lips. From the fruit of our lips we give Him praise. Amen? Now there can be other things that kind of accompany that. But right now, with your voice, let's give Him glory right there in the middle of the barrenness, right in the middle of the situation that has not changed. All right, on the count of three. Ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Are you waiting for someone else to start before you? Huh? Ready? One, two, three. Let's give Him glory right now. Let's give Him glory right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Don't stop. Don't stop. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing, O barren. Sing, O barren. Sing, O barren. Hallelujah. Now, I want to encourage you. See, here's the thing. Faith always sees before it happens. All right? And, Miracle Life is very blessed. And I thank God for all of you that are very distinguished. And we are so glad that you are. And you're proper, and that's good. All right? Thank God you know what to do in different situations. But you know what? All you distinguished people, I've been to weddings with you. You're not distinguished at weddings. I've watched football matches with you. Huh? And when Zambia scores against Cameroon, nobody looks at each other and says, well, jolly, that was splendid. Splendid. Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, so I was so very happy that we scored. I watched a soccer game in this room right here on this screen, and I watched a guy roll on the floor because Zambia scored the first goal. Unfortunately, Tunisia scored the next four. Okay. Here's the thing. You need to act right now as if your situation is completely 100% solved by God. Yeah! Glory! Hallelujah! Glory! Glory! Woo! Glory! Glory! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Glory to God! For the Lord is good! 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 Secondly, we've gotten some approval by the government for tax-free, all right? All right? It needs to be expanded, all right? It needs to be expanded. And then thirdly, We need a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
A whole lot of cash. All right. Well, how much, Pastor? A lot. All right. So, we're going to give God the glory. We're going to do some dancing in the new church. But we're going to dance today because he's sorting out this tax thing. And then secondly, a whole lot of money is coming in.
Yeah.
We're going to give God glory.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yesterday, and I came. What if? Look, this didn't happen yesterday. It's coming up. But what if I was getting? If I got up here and said, you know what? Someone wrote us a check for $1 million. Yeah. Let's thank God. Let's thank God that we have a full supply.
Yeah.
He's the God who supplies.
Thank you, Lord.
He's the God who supplies.
Oh,
let's thank Him right now. Let's give Him glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
And His mercy. Woo! His mercy.
Woo!
last church I went to didn't really do this. Well, I'm sure it was a good church. The Bible says that in the time of David, that there was a shout from the camp of the righteous. It wasn't heard in the camp of the righteous. It was heard by the heathen. Paul and Silas were in the innermost jail cell in Philippi, and they were praying and singing praises to God, and the prisoners, not one, prisoners heard them. Amen. Your praise needs to be heard by other people.
Yeah.
It's got to be heard by other people.
Yeah.
They've got to know what you believe.
Yeah.
They've got to hear you proclaiming the word of God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad heaven is a lot crazier than today? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bow your heads with me. You can stay standing, but everybody, bow your heads with me.